Welcome to Doggy Lessons, where humans are the ones in training. For anyone new here, this podcast is for those who cancel plans because their dogs are too sad. I'm your host, Dakota, they, them, NB Mama to Augie Doggy. This week's episode will be about play and how it is a basic need for pups and for humans. So with that, let's take a walk. So thinking about play as a basic need, it comes from me thinking about Augie, and he's not just this, like, you know, he is my pet, but he's not just this cute little guy that I have to feed, hydrate, and walk, right? It's not just like, oh, it's not, he's not a Tamagotchi. You know, he is a living, sentient being, and he needs connection with me and other dogs. Of course, all dogs have different needs socially, and perhaps some dogs are completely okay with only bonding with their humans. I know for a fact that Augie does need social interaction with other dogs, even though sometimes I think he thinks that he's a human. One of the running jokes is that when Augie used to go to daycare every day, that I would say that he would sit next to humans and probably be like, ugh, dogs, am I right? So that I always like to think of Augie as kind of like he set himself apart. But in reality, he was probably being a menace playing with the other dogs. But he is a good, playful pup, and so he loves to run around with other dogs and meet them and ask them to play and all of these things. So it's very cute to watch. And so staying cognizant of Augie's need for play has taught me that play is just as important as any other need I have as a human, right? So Augie, he reminds me to slow down. He reminds me to, you know, he brings me his toys. He presents his toys to me, and it's like, how could I say no? You know, he just looks so cute with a huge stuffy in his mouth. And so, yeah, it's really important to be able to pause and realize that he is, you know, essentially extending a bid for connection to me. And it's up to me to accept or deny. And for me, I've just been more aware of these things where it's like, okay, he's asking for something. He's asking, and clearly he's bringing a toy to me, and so he wants to play, right? And I think that that's so cute to think, you know, he's thinking, what's mama doing? I want to go play with mama, right? And then, like, just brings his toy over to me, and I just find that so adorable and so cute that, you know, 5-10 minutes of playing with Augie would mean so much to him and would strengthen our bond. And so there's, like, no reason why I would say no. Like, what is so urgent that I can't just play with my dog for 10 minutes, right? I work a job that is, there are urgent tasks at hand, but, you know, nothing that's going to be like in the next 5 to 10 minutes, if this doesn't get done, something is going to happen, right? Or something bad is going to happen. And so, again, like, if Augie's extending this bid for connection that could be 5 or 10 minutes long, why would I say no? Right. And so I've taken this this mindset and moved it into, like, or applied it into the rest of my life, basically. And so that's the inspiration for this episode, is that Augie is a playful guy and he extends bids of connection often, which I'm thankful for, because that means that he sees value in connecting with me. And, you know, I would benefit from playing with him and he would benefit from playing with me. And so why not just say yes? Since I've brought up work and how Augie, you know, likes to come see me in the office and checks on me every now and then, I wanted to kind of focus on that for a second and we can go into the other takeaways. So I like to get into Augie's head, like, you know, think about what he might be seeing when he's looking at me. And so really from his point of view, I think of what it must look like for me to be sitting at my desk working. To him, you know, he doesn't have a concept of sending emails. He doesn't have a concept of, like, oh, they're doing codes, right? Like, Augie doesn't know that he's a dog. And so I like to think of him, he just sees me sitting, looking at a light box and, like, pressing buttons and stuff. But it doesn't look very active to him. Right. And maybe it's a very cerebral thing that I'm doing, but physically I'm not doing anything other than just staring at this thing, at the screen, which is so funny to me. And so I do wonder what, like, he's thinking when I'm at my desk for hours on end, trying to solve a problem or something. And so whenever he does come and check on me and, like, presents a toy to me when I'm in the middle of something, sometimes it can get frustrating. I will be honest, just because, you know, I have, when I'm really, really focused, I get, you know, really into it. And so sometimes if I get interrupted, it is an annoyance, but I've learned to reframe that and to really see this, approach, right, with Augie coming to me, as a bid for connection. And so seeing it that way, you know, I can apply that to my social relationships and my human relationships, right? That, you know, there's, if a person reaches out to me and, you know, maybe I don't have the time, I can say no, I can say not right now, I would love to connect with you at this time, right? And that's totally fine. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, questioning my priorities and, like, yes, work is super important to me and it's something that I'm really grateful for, and that I love doing, right? But if it's only work and no play, that's going to be, it's not healthy, right? So again, play as a basic need, is where we're, you know, connecting all of these thoughts. And yeah, so Augie sees me staring at a light box for several hours a day. And if he bids its connection in the middle of that, I have learned to realize that I appreciate those moments, because they're not going to happen forever, right? And he wants to connect with me, and so I want to connect with him. Something else, that another thought that comes from this, is that I will never regret slowing down and giving Augie the play and attention that he deserves, right? So I use this same mentality when it comes to caring for myself and how, you know, if there's something that I like, going to work out, eating well, doing something that I want to do simply for the joy of it, I'll never regret something like that, right? If something is going to refuel me or re-energize me or give me, you know, joy, I'm never going to regret that. And so playing with Augie, slowing down, and, you know, just visiting him during the day when it's break time, I'm never going to regret that, right? There's never going to be a situation where I'm like, oh man, I really wish I didn't play with Augie for 10 more minutes, right? Or, oh man, I really wish I didn't have that conversation with my friend that was 5 minutes long, right? Those are things that, if they bring me joy, I'm not going to regret them. If they're in alignment with me, I'm not going to regret them. And so, thinking about that, right? So Augie will check on me periodically, come into the office. It's not always a bid for connection. It's honestly, it's just like, you good? And then he leaves, which I find funny. But when he checks on me, that's kind of like my reminder, my cue to pause. Because who knows how long I've been at my computer. I have ADHD, so time blindness is real. And so sometimes he knows when my day is over or when it's supposed to be over, right? So he comes in and he, like, is relentless. He will sit next to me, Velcro dog mode, 100%, and he'll put his paw on me. And it's basically like, hey, can we go out for a walk or can we do something? You've been staring at that light box for too long. And sometimes even not even at my desk, but if I'm scrolling my phone for too long, he will slap the phone out of my hand, which I think is so funny. But also can be really frustrating too when I'm like really trying to get something done. But yeah, he'll use his hand and he'll slap my phone out of my hand. And that's kind of my reminder, like, yo, you've been on your phone for like too long today. So let's take a break. And so typically when that happens, I'm like, all right, Augie's pretty, I want to say, responsive. So I can say, like, do you want food? Do you want to walk? Do you need to go potty? And depending on, like, what he does, like, he'll either wag his tail really hard or, like, he'll just run to the front door if it's time for a walk, right? So I can, like, you know, interpret his cues, which is funny and cute. But, yeah, so this I'm thankful for this kind of, like, if Augie wasn't here, I could be sitting on my computer for a long time. I could be sitting on my phone for a really long time, right? And so I'm really thankful that these reminders to take a break or to go out for a walk, it gets me out of the house. It gets me some sunshine. It fuels my creativity and it gives my brain a well-deserved break. Sometimes I can be spending a lot of time on a coding problem or, you know, trying to make some code work in one of the projects that I have, and it's not working, and I'll get frustrated. And then magically, Augie knows, and he comes in, and he basically breaks the monotony of my brain, right? Like, I could be going about this thing, this coding problem, or whatever I'm trying to, whatever I'm frustrated with, and he appears, sometimes silently, which is funny, a funny jump scare. But yeah, so he reminds me like, okay, we need to take a break now. You know, we got to go do something else, which I'm really thankful for. And so now that I've set the context for the inspiration for this episode and why I'm talking about play as a basic need, I want to now move into the takeaways and the lessons, that, you know, with Augie reminding me that I need to take breaks and play, I want to go into those takeaways, right? So the first one is that I'm fortunate enough to have a career that is focused on problem solving, learning, and exploration. And so beyond that, I'm fortunate enough to have a job that feels like play at a company that has a playful culture. So when I'm put on a new project, I like to play with the new features and implementation methods that maybe we've been discussing and like we haven't had the chance to implement yet. So I get to play around with those things, right? It's the discovery phase and I get to think, okay, well, this is the design. What could be a cool tool to use for this? Should we use something new? Should we use something that we've already used before? So yeah, I like to let my curiosity guide me in that sense. And so it does, a lot of the time, my work does feel like play, which is a huge privilege. And I'm so grateful to be able to have a job that feels like play, right? Because I know that that's not the case for everyone. And so, yeah, I'm just really grateful for that. And so approaching things in life with this kind of like playful mentality of like, how can we make this thing play, right? Like, how can we make this thing, whatever we're about to do, whatever is in front of us on our plate, how do we reframe it into something that can be not so heavy, right? And sometimes work is really heavy. Or you know, there are things in life that are just like stressful or hard, right? And so for me, as a neurodivergent ADHDer, sometimes I wake up and I'm like already exhausted and the day hasn't even started, right? So something like this, I could go on for the rest of my day being like, oh my gosh, I'm like so tired. I'm so like dragging my feet. And you know, sometimes days are like that. That's just how it is with neurodivergence and ADHD. That does happen, right? But I'm really thankful for me and my really close friend. We basically text each other every day, right? And like sometimes we like to, well, not sometimes, but oftentimes we like to frame our days as like a video game. So gamifying our day, right? So we frame every day as a like a video game level, essentially. And our HP is our energy level. And sometimes we start the level or the day at 100, 100% HP. And other times we're low from the start. And so we, you know, like even that is like already kind of funny, you know, like it's like a playful thing for our day, right? We're already playing at the beginning. And so then our ADHD meds are sometimes like we frame those as power-ups with specific attributes like 100 plus 100 focus, but there's a time limit, right? So it's like you took the potion and now you only have like 4 hours to do all the things. And it's like making you move faster, stuff like that. So yeah, and then hard life things like the executive function of going grocery shopping or making a nerve-wracking phone call or even navigating the airport, we consider those boss fights. And so or even losing an item, right? Like, let's say you lost your pen or your glasses or something, and you just had it in your hand and now it's missing. And so this is like trying to find it is like a mini game, right? So it's like, okay, well, I can't do the other stuff unless I have my glasses. So I got to go find it. So this has been such a helpful and playful way to take on the day, especially when the day can be like, can already feel heavy from the start. Right. And so instead of going through the day of being like, oh my gosh, like I'm just dragging along. And although you may be dragging along, why not infuse some play into it? Right. There's what would be the harm in like trying to play throughout the day? Right. This is really important for our brains and like really important for our mental and emotional state. So why not play more? Another example of this, a way that I've applied this to my life in the past is, or even the present, is that work doesn't have to feel like work, right? Why not play while you work? And why can't work be enjoyable in this way? And so I know I've been focusing a lot on work, but that's just kind of like what I do every day. So that's what's top of mind. But yeah, so back in the day, right, before I was a developer, long, long time ago, one of my first jobs was a hot dog extraordinaire for IKEA. So what that means is I worked at the bistro. I served hot dogs and ice cream and pizza. And that could be really, it can be sometimes really mundane and repetitive and like all of this stuff, which has is its own pain. but then, you know, after that, I moved into being a cashier as well, which can also be mundane and repetitive and at times very boring. But even then, I tried to gamify my workday, right? I thought of myself as, when I worked in the bistro, I thought of myself as a little game character that had to upkeep like a little restaurant. I don't know if you've ever played those mobile games where you kind of just have to like, oh, there's a spill. You know, the soda needs refreshing. This person needs to check out, like all of these things. I would think of myself as that little character trying to keep the customers happy. And that helped, right? Because I'm like, this, I'm going to be here anyway. I have to do this anyway. So why not whistle while I work, right? And then when I moved into being a cashier, I thought of my handheld scanner as a laser gun. And I had to destroy all the items as they came down the conveyor belt, kind of like Galactica style. And that was fun for me. You know, I had to work this job that wasn't, you know, as mentally stimulating as I wanted, but I made it fun and enjoyable for myself as much as I could. Right. And so there are so many ways in life that we can do that. It's just a matter of like wanting to be creative and like also wanting to embody that, that energy, right? Because even when you're down bad, sometimes it is hard to pull yourself out of it and like have the mental capacity or resources to even play in that way, right? But I think that if we practice this, you know, and like really frame play as a basic need, it will be different. Like it's not some, like we don't, sleep is a basic need. Right? Sleep is a basic need, but we don't question like, oh, I'll just go several days without sleeping, right? Like we need it to be okay. And so framing play in the same way of like, have I played today? Have I laughed today? Have I done anything that was enjoyable to me? You know, we can't go several days, weeks, months without doing something like that, right? Because it is a basic need. And so play is such an important part of human and canine well-being that it's astonishing to me that we don't play more, right? I read this post one time where it says, you know, there was a moment where all your friends that you had played outside with, you know, like all the neighborhood kids or whatever, there was a day that you just, that was the last time you played with them and like it never happened again. And that's so sad. I'm not saying like go look up your neighborhood friends or anything like that from childhood, unless you want to, that would be really cool. But you know, how can we take that same energy and that same, you know, playfulness into our adult lives, right? And because as adults, it's like, oh, we need to, we think that we need to earn our play, right? And in the same way that like we are taught that we have to earn our rest, right? We have to like work really hard and then, I deserve my rest. Like, no, you don't need to earn your rest. You don't need to earn your sleep. You don't need to earn your play, right? Like those are things that are basic needs and you should do those as often as you need to. That feels good and allows you to do the things that spark joy for you and like ignite you. So yeah, I'm just really thankful to be able to infuse play into a lot of what I do, right? And like, again, I'm really thankful to Augie for reminding me to play with him and also to find ways to play that feel energizing and exciting for me. And so now, those were all my takeaways, right, from being inspired by Augie and his need to play and want to play. And so now I'm going to transition us from the talking or the takeaways to some cool facts that I, you know, came across as I was writing this episode. This took me down kind of like a rabbit hole about play, which was really cool and really fun. So the first fact that I have for you about play is that Karen Purvis, a scientist, along with a team of other scientists, discovered that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, unless it's done with play, in which case it only takes 10 to 20 repetitions. I think that that's so crazy in terms of like learning theory, and, you know, being able to learn new things, whether it be for a child, a puppy, an adult. Like, imagine how much time you save actually by playing, right? Instead of like, oh man, I just have to like learn this thing. I have to read this like really boring article or whatever. Like, how can you gamify it? How can you make it into play? Because then now at least you're enjoying yourself. And also like you don't have to work so hard actually because you did it with play, right? So that's an interesting fact. Another thing that I learned about play is as I was going down this lovely rabbit hole that this episode took me on, I came across the National Institute for Play and their website. And they actually have a quiz that you can take that gives you your play style. And it lets you understand how you play and like maybe provides context for why that is. But yeah, I never really thought of like, oh, how do I play? We don't ever think that, right? Like we're always asked like, what do you want to do when you grow up? What are some things that like, you know, inspire you and all that stuff? But it's like, how do you like to play? And I've never thought of it in this way. I know I like to build Lego. I know I like to code. I like to learn stuff. I like to move my body, right? Like all of these things, but I never thought of it as like a play style. So yeah, I'm excited to take that information about myself and like run with it and see what I come up with. Or like how it changes the way I like move in the world, you know? And so those are the two facts that I, you know, came across during this rabbit hole. And I'm not quite finished yet, so we'll see what else I come up with or what else I learn. Maybe I'll do a bonus episode on that. But yeah, so as an adult, it's so important to stay nimble both physically and mentally. And play helps us do that, right? So being able to infuse play is so important. And I hope that, you know, you'll be able to infuse more play into the things that you do that you're going to do anyway. So might as well enjoy it. Right. So, yeah. And then with that, Augie and I would like to invite and welcome write-ins from you, our listeners. So this week's question is, or prompt, is describe and share some ways you've infused play into your daily life and how you've benefited from doing so. You can submit your write-in to doggylessons@dakotafabro.dev. And I'll go ahead and list the email in the description for this episode. And yeah, that's the email for future write-ins as well. And other, you know, correspondence with us. So can't wait to hear from you and to see how, you know, you've started to play, or play more, right? So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Doggy Lessons. Now get out there and find ways to play. And as always, love people the way your dog loves people and be the person your dog believes you are. I'm your host, Dakota, they, them, and be dog mama to Augie Doggy. Have a great week, and we will be back next Monday.